Let's read together Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 50. Here we have the last three of the seven parables of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 13. The parable of the hidden treasure in the field, the parable of the pearl of great price, and the parable of the dragnet containing good and bad fish. Matthew chapter 13, beginning now at verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Let's begin our study now of these three parables with some background notes. In Matthew chapter 13, we have seven parables of the kingdom of heaven given by our Lord Jesus. The first four parables were given to the multitudes, as we see back in verses 1 through 3 of the chapter. Let's read those verses again. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables. So there are seven parables of the kingdom, and the first four parables of the kingdom were given to the multitudes. The last four parables were given only to the disciples, as we see in verse 36. Verse 36 once again. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him. And then you have the last three parables of the kingdom given. The Lord gave the interpretation for three of the parables: the parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and the tares, and the parable of the dragnet and different kinds of fish, which we have before us this morning. So the Lord gave the interpretation of three of the parables. The other four parables of the kingdom of heaven, here in Matthew chapter 13, we have to interpret for ourselves in the light of the rest of Scripture. Now remember, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom in its present form. It is not synonymous with the church, but it includes the church. The kingdom of heaven is the realm of Christendom, the sphere that covers wherever Christianity has spread. And we know that Christendom includes the true and the false, the wheat and the tares. When the Lord returns, the true and the false will be separated. But until that time, the present form of the kingdom here on this earth includes false professors along with true believers. And that brings us now to the interpretation of the last three parables and our doctrinal or teaching points. So doctrinal point number one, there is a difference between the treasure and the pearl. There is a difference between the treasure and the pearl. Verses 44 through 46, once again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What is the interpretation of these two parables? The hidden treasure in the field and the pearl of great price. Some Christians interpret both the man who found the treasure and the merchant who found the pearl to be the sinner who finds Christ, who is the greatest treasure and the priceless pearl. But that interpretation seems to imply that you can buy salvation, because both the field and the pearl are bought in the parables. A more consistent interpretation is that the man who buys the field with the treasure and the merchant who buys the pearl both represent the Lord himself. He gave all that he had to purchase the treasure and to purchase the pearl. Now, what are the treasure and the pearl in the parables? The treasure is saved Israel, and the pearl is the true church. One more time. The treasure in the parable of the treasure hidden in the field is saved Israel, and the pearl in the parable of great price is the true church. Now remember, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom at the present time. When Israel rejected their king and his offer of the kingdom, Israel was set aside from their favored position, and the gospel of God's grace went out to the whole world. But God still has plans for Israel. He is not finished with Israel. Israel is like a treasure hidden in the field. The field is the world. The Jewish people have been scattered throughout the world, but they are still God's chosen people, his treasure. Psalm 135 verse 4 says, "For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure." There has always been a godly remnant of Jewish believers. Their numbers will continue to increase as we get closer to the Lord's return. This godly remnant is the treasure in the field. The Lord went to the cross and gave all that he had, his own life, in order to reconcile the world to himself and purchase that treasure. 2 Corinthians 5:19. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. So that's what we believe is the meaning of the treasure hidden in the field. It's the godly remnant of Jewish believers. The king and the kingdom were rejected by Israel. Israel has been set aside, but there is that treasure hidden in the field of the world. God has his godly remnant of saved Jews, and they will increase. The pearl of great price is the true church. The Lord Jesus went to the cross and bought us with his own life by shedding his blood as the perfect sacrifice. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Now there may be more meaning to this parable of the pearl of great price. As most of you know, the formation of a pearl is through suffering. So the church was formed through suffering. And many times in Scripture, the sea represents the world of Gentile nations. As a pearl comes from the sea, so the church has been mostly called out of the sea of Gentile nations. There is a wealth of truth in these two little parables, and we've seen that there is a difference between the treasure and the pearl. Doctrinal point number two. There is a difference between the rapture and the return. There is a difference between the rapture and the return. The parable of the dragnet containing good and bad fish is the last of the seven parables of the kingdom of heaven here in Matthew chapter 13. This parable is very similar to the parable of the wheat and the tares. And notice that the Lord does give the interpretation of this parable. The good and bad fish in the fishing dragnet are true believers and false professors, respectively, within Christendom. The good fish, true believers, the bad fish, false professors, within Christendom. Now notice when the wicked and the righteous are separated. It's at the end of the age, as we also saw in the parable of the wheat and the tares. Now, when is the end of the age? It is when the Lord returns to set up his earthly kingdom. That is not the same time as the rapture. The rapture of the church could be at any time, but the return of the Lord to set up his millennial kingdom on this earth will come at the end of the seven-year tribulation period, which is yet to come on this earth. At the rapture, the saved will be raptured out of this wicked world. At the return of the Lord, the wicked will be taken away to judgment, and the righteous will be left to inherit the kingdom. Now, the details of the rapture are given in 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in that passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 makes it very clear that we are raptured away from this earth. Now, notice that in both the parable of the wheat and the tares and the parable of the dragnet and fish, the righteous are not taken away and the unrighteous left behind as in the rapture. No, the unrighteous are taken away to judgment and the righteous are left behind for the kingdom. So don't try to work the rapture into this parable. The clear teaching of the rapture in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, says that the rapture, the righteous are taken away from the midst of the unrighteous. The unrighteous are left. But in these parables, the wheat and the tares, and the separation of the good and bad fish from the dragnet, which will take place at the end of the age, it's at the return of Christ. You'll notice in both of these parables, it's the unrighteous that are taken away, and the righteous are left to inherit the kingdom. This all takes place at the return of Christ to this earth at the end of the age. Were you able to see that significant difference there? So there is a difference between the rapture and the return. These parables deal with the return. In fact, probably the only mention of the rapture in the Gospels is what? The great rapture passages are 1 Corinthians 15 and 1 Thessalonians 4. And all your gospel passages talking about the return of the Lord are really the return to his earth to set up his kingdom. But there is one, we believe, one rapture passage in the gospel record. It would be John chapter 14, where the Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There he's talking to believers who are living now, and we're part of the church. More we could say there. What about practical application from this portion of Matthew chapter 13? Don't limit the luster of the pearl. Don't limit the luster of the pearl. We've seen that the pearl of great price represents the church, which is the body and bride of Christ. Pearls, as you know, are beautiful gems because of their radiance and luster. The beauty of a pearl comes from the many concentric thin layers of nacre or mother of pearl. You see the parallel and the illustration? The church is composed of many layers of believers. Together, believers add to the beauty and luster of the church. Don't take away from that beauty and luster by being a carnal Christian. Be a fully committed Christian. Don't limit the luster of the pearl.